We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Dr. Stephen Turkovich joining us live on the line, Chief Medical Officer at Oshai Children's Hospital, to talk a little bit about the virus. Now, Dr. Turkovich, last time we spoke with you, we were talking about, you know, some new findings of ways that the virus might impact small children. Now, a month or so later, what are we finding about, the Kawasaki disease symptoms, coronavirus, and children? Has anything really changed?
So not much has changed. You know, we've confirmed some of the earlier things that we have learned around the symptoms, the fact that most kids that have this present with a fever and some sort of abdominal pain or diarrhea. Also, we're very fortunate that we've only had two confirmed cases here in Buffalo. Both of them are both now home and healthy. The child was discharged from the hospital last week. So that continues to prove that we think that this is a pretty rare complication of coronavirus.
Generally, Dr. Turkovich, it seems that young children do not appear to be transmitting this virus, right?
Yeah, you know, there's research that's shown that daycare centers that have remained open for essential workers, children throughout this pandemic, really haven't shown transmission of children to children or children to staff. And many countries have started to reopen schools, and they've been able to stay open by maintaining social distancing and masking and things like that. So it does look like we'll be able to open schools in a safe manner because of these things.
We know the numbers throughout Western New York when it comes to hospitalizations for COVID, right now down to 35 people hospitalized throughout the five counties. At Children's Hospital, at the Oshai Children's Hospital specifically, what have you seen over the last month or so? Have there been many COVID admissions?
No, to be honest, our last pediatric patient admitted with COVID was on Memorial Day weekend and was actually discharged that same weekend. You know, we have had a few older kids, older teenagers who had tested positive who were seen in our emergency room. I can tell you that most of those were related to travel down south or to other areas where there's higher prevalence. So consistent with what we're seeing in the adult population, that traveling to areas outside of New York is potentially dangerous.
You know, you're just talking about schools a minute ago. Is it your opinion that maybe it's even safer to have kids back in school?
Yeah, you know, I think we've learned so much since March when we really had no choice when we had to shut things down because of all the unknowns. But because of what we learned and because of what we've seen with daycares and other schools in other countries, I do think we can open up safely. You know, schools provide so many benefits to kids from social and emotional interaction, helping children with learning disabilities and other therapies, food insecurity, watching for evidence of child abuse and protecting children from that way, and many, many other benefits that right now we do have safety measures. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has put out a great set of guidelines and tools that we can use to keep both children and faculty safe.
And it's such a big question of social distancing. You know, if you reopen schools, how do you do it? With what we've seen in daycare, with what you've seen around children, could there be maybe a more relaxed atmosphere when it comes to social distancing in schools? Because I think any teacher, anyone who works inside of a school would know that you can try. You can only get kids to do so much. It probably won't be as stringent as a restaurant or something.
Yeah, you know, I think each school obviously is going to be different. You've got different space constraints, so some may be able to do some smaller class sizes or cohorting, and some may not. So that's where masking may become more and more important. And also maybe not changing classes, so keeping children together, not eating in the cafeteria and eating in your classroom. But social distancing of the adults, the teachers, is going to remain to be really important because those are the ones that are at highest risk. So continue those virtual faculty meetings, don't go to the faculty lounge, things like that.
Would you expect a universal masking mandate when it comes to schools?
You know, I think it's going to be difficult for that. For high schools, I think it's reasonable. They can certainly tolerate that. I think teachers, it would be a safe thing. Elementary school, you know, the risks may outweigh the benefits because kids are constantly touching their face and readjusting it, which could infect them. So you really have to weigh those risks and benefits or use it sporadically in those times where social distancing is really not easy. Maybe just have them use it for that temporary period of time.
Okay. Interesting thoughts. On the virus itself and kind of where we stand as a region, are you surprised at the way we've seen the numbers react to the way we've reopened? I mean, I think most people, and we've heard it time and time again, expected numbers to rise, expected some sort of spike every time we hit one of these reopening phases, but it just hasn't happened.
Well, you know, I think people are masking, and we know that masking is the most important thing. You know, if you look at countries that have been through SARS before that have sort of masking ingrained in their culture, that they jumped on that, their numbers are significantly lower. If you look at Hong Kong, a very densely populated country, their numbers are extremely small. So the more masking we do, the better we're going to be. And I think that's going to be the key to returning to normal.
You know, there seems to be great concern about the fall. If the virus is still here, and it seems like it will be, without a vaccine, and if the flu season starts up, what are you thinking about the fall?
You know, that is the great unknown. You know, we are worried about that, and we're really watching the Southern Hemisphere very closely, as we do every year, to understand what the flu season is going to look like. But now, obviously, more than ever, we have seen in places like Brazil and Chile and Australia that flu does not seem to be a big problem because coronavirus has sort of taken over. So it may be that coronavirus will crowd out the flu, but there is still that potential that we could have two viruses circulating. So it'll be more important than ever to get that flu vaccine.
You know, we talked with you many times over this past winter before coronavirus was a major concern in Western New York about the flu, about RSV and things like that, and how it was impacting the region and how serious it was this past season. Are those trends something that continue year to year? Are they completely unrelated to each other year to year in what to expect?
Well, you know, the good news is we generally see an RSV season sort of wax and wane. So we'll have a severe season, and then it tends to be a little bit less for the next couple of years. And it's usually on a 3 to 4 year cycle. So because last year was so severe, we're hoping that this year will be less severe. But again, all the unknowns with COVID make this very unpredictable.
We saw a drop in ER visits to the hospital over the last few months when the pandemic really started up around here. Have you seen that come back up again?
Yeah, you know, we are starting to see that increase. We're about 33% higher in June compared to May, but we're still about 50% lower compared to last June. And it's just related to the fact that kids are not playing sports. They're not getting hurt as much. You know, they're not around as many kids as usual, so those infectious diseases aren't as prevalent. So we are increasing, but still not to where we usually are at this time of the year.
Okay. It's a lot to take in, but some good news there, and I think maybe some reassuring news for a lot of parents that you brought us this morning. Dr. Turkovich, thanks as always. It's Dr. Stephen Turkovich, Chief Medical Officer at Oshai Children's Hospital, which has not seen a COVID admission of a child at the hospital since Memorial Day weekend. That's interesting stuff there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.